You're listening to Scratching and Thriving Podcast on Exposure TV Network. I'm Dr. A, an educator and entrepreneur.
And I'm Brandon, a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru. And we are two longtime friends who are passionate professionals committed to empowering people to thrive both professionally and personally.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Mokin Steph.
And you're listening to Scratching and Thriving
with Dr. A and Brandon.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm well. I got settled in Mississippi.
Oh, great. Do you like it?
You know what? I do, actually. It's growing on me to go from big city, East Coast living to not small town, but smaller town, South, Gulf Coast living is different.
Mm-hmm.
Even the accents, I have to be like, what'd you say?
Remind you of New Orleans.
It does, with a southern twang to it, because it's so close to New Orleans that you can throw a rock basically get to New Orleans. But it's definitely different. It's some adjusting. It's nice to be close to home, though.
Okay. Okay.
So, did you know that 90s music was making a comeback?
Yes. I'm loving it.
I saw
the Versus battle.
Yes. With Escape.
Yes.
And SWV. Look, I done watched that 3 times.
I know. Yes. You know, I like both groups a lot. And both of them obviously have songs that I like. But SWV, I mean, those sisters can shine.
And you know, they have the catchy ones, the ones that are classic. They're timeless. Mm-hmm. Speaking of timeless, do you remember He's Mine?
By Mokin Steph?
Yeah, He's Mine.
Yes.
You made a hat and want that one. Yeah.
That was another catchy one.
That was. I think I ain't gonna tell you where I was in high school. Well, I was in school and I ain't gonna even say it. I almost said it. But anyway, yes, it was very, very catchy. In fact, they have the group Mokin Steph, Monifa, Stephanie, and Kenya have a book coming out.
Oh. Okay, maybe we'll get some secrets about what happened after the As Is album.
Yes, yes. You know, As Is was a pretty big hit. And then, you know, they kind of disbanded for different reasons, and now they're back together. They got a book entitled Unfinished Business.
I like that.
So why don't we get into it and get with the ladies and find out what this is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, Mokin Steph, Monifa, Kenya, and Stephanie. Good. Well, welcome to Scratching and Thriving.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
So where are you guys located?
I'm in Philly, right outside of Philly.
Okay.
And I just left Tampa, Florida. I'm in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Okay.
Philly and Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and we're in California.
Nice. Now, all of you guys are from California?
Yeah, we're from Cali, yeah.
Inglewood and Los Angeles.
Right, right. I'm sure we got some family out there.
So how was it growing up in California, in the L.A. area?
I had a beautiful time. Great. You know, I'm South Central Los Angeles, and just being raised in the neighborhood, I had a great experience, you know. However, I was bused to school. I did not have the opportunity to go to my neighborhood schools.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately when that magnet program hit, I was placed in it. So I had the luxury of going to schools outside of the hood.
Uh-huh.
And that was extremely instrumental in me being in the music industry, actually, because I was exposed to music, drama, dance, you know, all those things that unfortunately the hood had lacked at the time. And so I eventually graduated from Hollywood High. That's my little life story.
Hollywood High. Okay, so a lot of celebrities went to Hollywood High, right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you go to school with anybody that we know?
I did go to school with somebody you know, Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was a senior when I was a junior.
Oh, got it.
Mm-hmm. And he was funny then, as funny as he is.
It's funny.
Yes. Was he voted class clown?
You know what? That's hilarious. I don't, you know, because I wasn't a senior at the time, I don't know, you know, where he was placed, but he certainly was a clown. But you know what? He was more than a clown. He was really serious about his art and his craft as an actor. So he was just being funny on his own. And, you know, there's no place for like comedy other than being a clown. But he was really a good actor, actually.
So how did you ladies meet?
Well, Stephanie and I, this is Kenya. Stephanie and I met at Morningside High School in Inglewood. We started off as cheerleaders. I personally used to just dance and with different ladies. And once I saw that they didn't want to continue, Stephanie was known as a great dancer in high school. So I just asked her if she would like to dance with me in some shows that were, you know, and that were coming up around the neighborhood at that time and behind neighborhood artists and things of that nature. And that's how we met. We connect by being cheerleaders and dancing together. As we continued on with our dancing and rehearsing and doing little local performances, we ran into an artist that wanted to do shows, and we decided we needed another dancer. So we decided to do an audition, which is how we met Mo. And she was the only person who showed up for the audition, which worked out great because Mo, you know, we gave her a couple of 8 counts. We had her do it with us by herself, and she just knocked it out the box. It was immediately a magical moment between all three of us. I think Mo felt the same way we felt that same night. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I felt like Mo was she the one, but you know, you really don't want to tell that person that. At that moment, but we just felt like, yeah, she's definitely good. She's got it, you know, and all our birthdays are in the same month.
What's y'all sign?
Well, you know, I'm a Virgo.
You know why she said it like that, right? She's all alone. She's all alone. That's why she said it like that. She's a Virgo. Say it proud, Kenya. Say it proud.
I
feel sorry for you guys, you know.
Yes, we are Libras. That was the beautiful thing about we had not even that in common. You know, we were all seniors, or we had just graduated. Is that what happened? We had just graduated and from high school the same time. Our aspirations were just similar. You know, we were in love with Dan. And not only just technical dance, you know, modern jazz, tap, but we were into, you know, hip hop was in our day, that was like our escape, you know, to our own independence, you know, that was just, I don't know why hip hop was just, it was just so strong at that time. And we wanted to be that hammer dancer. You know, right. we wanted to be Janet Jackson dancers. Those persons that we would see that promoted dancing, that was the spotlight we all wanted. So it was just like perfect. Okay, I met up with these two girls and I saw how serious they were with it. From then on, we would do competitions. We would dance behind artists, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we felt like we were that accessory that helped them win, right? Yeah. You know, so we would be successful, and we took it to another level of, you know, being a serious dance group.
With each show, we met more people. We kept meeting someone that would take us to the next level or introduce us to the next person. And then from there on, we would start doing music videos with hip hop artists, you know, like Big Daddy Kane and AMG and Kid and Play and BBD and Straight Eight. And then we just kept meeting people. And before you know it, we ran into someone that was like, you guys should be a group.
Wow.
And it's so funny. I wasn't thinking about that at the time.
What?
We were just.
And even before that, you know, I grew up in a home. My mother is a trained singer. So that was her spotlight. Singing was never. I mean, it was just my thing just by default, but it wasn't my thing. Uh-huh. And the girls happened to hear me, you know, I'm just singing a song that's being played on the radio. Mm-hmm. And they were like, they looked at me, they were like, you can sing? You know, and I don't remember the order that Stephanie, Kenya, do you remember that? Did you guys discover me singing before somebody said, hey, you guys should be a group?
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. We were just in the car and Mo just happened to be singing, and we've been around her maybe a year or two maybe a year and a half.
Yeah, we was rolling. I heard her here, and I'm like, wait a minute, she can sing. And, you know, it's just funny, Mo was shy. Our mission was like to be the best dancers traveling all over the world.
Yes.
So I know that y'all got into music. Everybody, because I've been telling people about this interviews coming up, everybody been saying that they know y'all from He's Mine. And I can tell you, I can remember when it came out because I was like in, I ain't going to say how old I was, but.
I think we all going to be on the low with this interview about
right.
how old we were at that time.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But I can tell you, that was the jam. Uh-huh. That was the jam. So tell us about that song and how it came about.
There are three individual stories into how He's Mine came about.
Okay.
Like He's Mine is a very real story, but with three perspectives on how we approach that. You know, you got mine was a He's Mine, a message to her. Not necessarily, I'm not necessarily fighting over him. That wasn't my intentions, but it was more of a statement. There was a person who befriended me who eventually sleeps with my man without me knowing, right?
It's a true story?
Yeah,
it's a true story.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why this song really reached more than you can even imagine, because it was such a real, it's such a real song. You know, it's a real uh-huh. statement. There's nothing wrong for a woman to make a statement about somebody belongs to her, or, you know, uh-huh. that her heart right. belongs to him and his heart belongs to her. That's actually a vulnerable statement, actually, right?
Uh-huh.
For you to right. say that and then somebody on the side saying, are you sure? You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. you have to be confident to make that statement. And that's pretty much really what it was. It was a confident statement to say, you know what? I'm only sure because the clues are there and you're playing games with me, making me think that nothing's going on. But at the same time, you're telling on yourself.
Right.
So it's a response. I'm responding to somebody and say, hold up, you went about it all wrong. He's mine. Exactly. So that's kind of what my statement was about.
So like how Mo was saying that's how she was coming. So I'm like listening to both, you know, Kenya and Monifa's different stories that they was going through with, you know, different females.
I know.
Oh. I was just saying that.
Oh, got you.
Your story, you know, the story that you had with the song. And it's like me, I was kind of clowning. That's why you hear so much flavor, so much different energy. And people think that we're talking about, you know, it's okay to cheat on us,
and we're cool
with that. And so when you hear certain lines, like you made it happen once, but I got them all the time, you know, we like, you know, I'm making fun of that, you know, as far as like, hey, you know, we know.
Like the trick.
Yeah, we played you like the trick, you let him hit. It's like, okay, uh-huh. you messing with a man that already got somebody. And
yes.
we're not giving a pass to the man, you know what I mean? It's just the fact that we talking to you, sister. It's
you
a girl code.
It is.
It's a girl code. And why are you messing with somebody else's dude? You know what I mean? And so
knowingly.
It wasn't yeah. no secret, because this girl was right. playing on Monifa's phone with, you know, and
he yes.
to tell you her interaction. But so it's that's why it's so much different storylines, you know, perspectives from it.
My perspective was just say the guy that I'm with now, say he was with someone prior to me. So you had him. Y'all had a relationship, y'all did what y'all did. Y'all broke up, he moved on. Now I'm with this person. So my perspective was like, okay, yeah, you may have had him once, but now I got him. So now he's with me. It's no back and forth. There's no cheating, mm-hmm. hopefully, in the relationship, but it's like he moved on away from you. So he's not with the past girl anymore. He's with a new girl. So
that's why that song blew up.
That's why that song blew up, because
He's Mine can be so many, you know, in so many scenarios, so many different scenarios why somebody would say he's mine, you know. And we loved it because, yes, we were clowning. So, you know, it's kind of like I'm teasing you a bit, you know, ha ha, he's mine. You know, people can use it like that. Or somebody can just be confidently, you know, like Steph, like Kenya's was. Okay, you were with him. Now, when we talk about going into the room, played you like a trick, you know, that's just us being clever.
Yeah.
Right. That's just us, you know, that's just us playing with the pen, you know. painting out a scenario.
Manipulating.
Yeah, you know, we kind of demean it. We're demeaning your interaction with the man. We don't really know, you know, if you went to a hotel. Right. You know, we
has happened though.
Yes. So I'm sure.
So many people.
So we were just having fun. There was pain and emotion going, you know, and laughter going into that song.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about it is that we write, you know, we write our own music. Only one song off the album as is was a remake of Smokey Robinson called Baby Come Close. But the rest of the songs that we, you know, we are responsible for our writing and you know, selecting the
creative control
of what we wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
About that in our book, in our unfinished business book, some of the things that, you know, people will see in the book about how it's hard to be on your own and stand alone, try to do these type of things without being criticized, or, you know, because everybody always feel labels are driven by what happened before you, who's hot, and wanting to connect you with the other person that's hot, instead of trusting the artist of their art, of knowing that they can make it happen on their own without having to have features and things like that. So that's a big, you know, thing to do, and stand up for yourself and say, hey, we got this. Not like we didn't want to do a feature, but the people that they were coming at was not the people we wanted to do a feature with. You know, we knew who we wanted to do features with, you know, and if it wasn't going to be that, we just not just trying to just do something with. And we talk about a feature that we really didn't want to do it with that person. We had somebody else in mind, but they, you know, that's when the label took over and said, hey, this would be hot. And we, you know, we went ahead and rolled with it. And the guy was dope. It wasn't that he wasn't dope, but that wasn't our choice.
Right.
We're talking about that in the book. We wanted your boy LL Cool J met the man of Snoop Dogg.
Right, that's what was hot at the time, yeah.
Yeah, but they, you know, Snoop is from where we from too, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, but Method Man was a label mate and LL Cool J was too. You know, so it's certain things that artists don't, you know, get their way, you know, in situations. So, you know, but we, you know, we had to stand strong in certain things and try to hold it down. But sometimes you get flack from it, you know.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's good to hear your truth, you know, and your versions of what happened with the story or happened with the song He's Mine, because, you know, a lot of people, especially now, fast forward 20 years, people are like, oh, you know, it's a negative song. Women shouldn't embrace that and all this stuff. And it's a real song. Even when you hear it today, it's a real song. I can think of friends who've gone through things like that. Mm-hmm. You read stories, novels. So, you know, people can be judgy all they want. I like the song personally because of the beat. I was far too young when the song came out. but, you know, the song still resonates with people, and it has stood the test of time. So kudos to you all for being able to write something that can still resonate with people. This book, now what inspired you guys to write the book?
Well, I approached it. This is Steph. I approached the ladies about writing a book about the good, the bad, and ugly about the business, and how we left was unfinished in this game. You know, people didn't know. Some of our fans didn't know. Like, okay, where are they? What happened to Moke and Steph? Those questions was coming up a lot through different, you know, websites, through different, you know, outlets, magazines, you know, different things. You know, it was a talk, you know, like what happened, you know. So when I mentioned to the ladies about it, they were game for it. And then what we wanted to do kind of different from it was not just talk about the good and bad and ugly about the music business, but also share it in a up and down roller coaster of emotions where it's funny. You know, it's, you know, it has some funny humor to it. It has some sad and being real to be able to come from three perspectives. So you have and our pictures. So we have pictures. What makes it kind of unique is that we grab pictures from back in the days. If you remember taking pictures with your 35 millimeter cameras,
you know,
and or throwaway. Or throwaway. See, they may not be that old. They may not be that old.
Right. That's why I gotta help them out. So disposable.
Right, help them out, Steph.
Disposable cameras or the 35mm, you know, that you had, you know, and you had to get it, you know, take it to the Photoshop, one hour photo, whatever that case may be.
We remember.
Okay, that part right there. What makes it unique is that these are our own personal pictures of our journey with different people that we was on the road with, on tour with, our own, you know, different celebrities, different artists, and we talk about our interaction with them through the picture. So sometimes, I don't know if you ever be looking on social media, because now, fast forward, we look at social media pictures, Instagram, the gram, right. whatever. Right. And you look at like, I wonder what they was doing. You see the picture, but what was going on? What's the story behind it? So we created this unique way of our pictures and creating a story about what really went down in our version. And what's funny, you got three of us. Sometimes you get artists that come back and tell their story, but it don't be everybody together.
Right.
And it's kind of, and we are the original members. We are the only members. So you get to see what we were feeling at the same time, you know? So give you an example about, we had, you know, I'm not going to go detailed because it's in our book, but it's a New York versus California type of energy with Big Daddy Kane. We used to dance behind Big Daddy Kane, if you know who Big Daddy Kane is.
Yeah, we know.
We used to dance behind him, you know, before we were smoking stuff. And so it's a funny story about that with him, you know, with New York, and we love him to death. At the end of the day, it was crazy because how New York people think and how California think, and it had to do with a taxi. We don't take taxis in California like that. That's some old hoe shit or something. You know what I mean? Like that's some old prostitute shit. Like for us, like if somebody see you in a hoe, a taxi and stuff, and like in New York, it's normal. It's like, oh, I'll get you a taxi. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the story is funny. It's
hilarious.
It's hilarious. But when you, but it was all a misunderstanding.
Yes. And it's like our way of, it's like we're giving an explanation. It's like we're telling Kane, our bad, my bad. You know, like we didn't, we're explaining the misunderstanding. Okay. And it's kind of like an apology to him as well. Like, I don't know how he thinks about us right now, but
because he was a king,
he'll understand.
Yeah, he was like a gentleman, like
he was a true gentleman.
But it's funny that little one misunderstanding is kind of bananas how it went back then with the whole
time. But is that misunderstanding what led to you guys walking away from the business or what?
Oh no!
Oh, that's a good question. No, he's not linked. Oh,
okay.
At all.
He's not linked to that. No, it's not linked to that. I'm explaining to you about pictures. I gave you an example about pictures that you are going to see in the book. Like we have pictures with Tupac. There's a story with Tupac. Those. But we have pictures about us where it is, where you talk, you see some of the downfalls with stuff that we were doing in some of our pictures. You would see when the separation, the fallout, you know, of our group. So you're going to see some pictures that you might see and it'll explain the fallout and what happened, you know? Oh.
So I know that you probably don't want to go into detail because I'm sure it's in the book.
Yes.
But give us some, a little insight on the fallout.
I'll start. I was the one who initiated it. Let's just put it that way. And that's Mo talking. I'm the one who I was done. I was done with the music business. I needed to grow. Okay. And I didn't feel like that's what I was doing. You know, being in the industry, it's a big party. You know, you having it's a whole lot of good time having. But at the end of the day, where's your family? You know, where's your husband? Right. Where's your children? You know, so that was a hole in my heart. So I had to lay it to rest. I had to retire. So I created the fallout.
Okay, fair enough. That's
so
fair.
You look at the glitz, you look at the glitz and glamour of it, but then the downside of it, you know, there's the fakeness of it. And so Mo and Steph, just let your listeners know, we went to college. You know, also we're not just
nice.
We're just not
people. Where did y'all go?
We have a bachelor's degree. You know, me and King had a bachelor's degree. I went to Cal State Long Beach.
Okay.
Cal State LA.
And Mo currently have one now, but me and Tia, me and Kenya had it back in the days. You know, we were in college girls and going to school. So people already thought we was kind of too smart for the business because we
had you're going to see that in our book.
You're going to see that in the book.
See that in the book how I admired. I was the one who had my own place and I worked. That's what I did. I was a workaholic. I worked. But these gals, they were students and they worked too. They were students and you know, Kenya was living a life. You know, remember the show A Different World?
That was
her life. That was the life she was living. So I got a chance to experience that. So we're some tough ladies. We're a little bit of control freaks.
Okay. That's fair.
But it's necessary, right?
I wouldn't even call us control freaks. I just call us people that, you know, women that knew what we wanted and we spoke about and we wasn't trying to be treated as. Because, you know, I mean, in this game, they will want you to dress inappropriately. I know how to dress sexy on my own. I can dress sexy on my own. You don't have to tell me and try to pit me how to be sexy. So I talk about that in the book as well. It's like the business, you know, what sex sells. And so you have different labels of executives trying to tell you to be a certain way. And if you have, and at the end of the day, and it's things that we learn too, when it's other people money that you're using, they feel like they have control over that. And that is respect for them too. And on their end, now that I'm older, I get it where they was coming from. This is their money. They spend and invest in these artists. You either going to do it or not. Well, no, we ain't thinking like that. That's not okay. We're not doing that. We need to compromise in another kind of way. But you don't want people to, you know, so you're not used to the artists. Most artists take everything and they be broke as hell. You know, don't have nothing to show for themselves because they took so much and then everything can recoup from them. They just say yes to everything, you know, because they're not used to, you know, I didn't have everything either, but I knew just from listening to stories, I'm not going to take all this stuff if I got to pay it back like that.
Right.
We had a different mindset. We was different. You have most artists who don't have, and I get it, they want to take whatever was given to them because they didn't have it. Well, I didn't have it either, but I chose not to take everything that was given. It didn't make sense. I'll give you an example. If they say, if we live in California and you want to give us this limo and all this other stuff to go to this show, well, who paying for this limo when we can come up there ourselves? But that's how humble and real we are. We different. We some different type of chicks. They ain't used to seeing that. They used to, the limo, we got this with it. But we live in the same city. I'd rather keep that money my damn self. Give me that money.
Right.
But see, we're different. You know what I'm saying? We weren't like the average artist.
And it's funny that you say that because my cousin is in the music industry. And she was telling me, keeping me to the game, basically, and letting me know that none of that stuff is free.
Right.
Like those cars they buy for you, the clothes and all that, you paying for that in the end.
Right. And who's got the title?
Right. Correct. Exactly. Because it's basically a leased car to you.
Exactly.
Yes, basically. That's right.
But so what did y'all do?
Being young, like 18. We're 18.
Right.
Now, you know, we're 20 years old. You know, we're young with this mindset.
What did you guys do when you walked away from the business? Like, you just led normal lives?
I didn't. So Steph was, you know, in our group, it's not just about he's mine. And some people who only follow he's mine, that's all they would think. But if they had bought the album as is, I'm a rapstress. So I flow, you know, and I write, you know, I write my lyrics as well, my rap, my lyrics, you know, of my rap and everything like that. So I went on and did some stuff, features, on a project with E-40 was on and he was a part of too. It was this artist named Miss Toy. She came out back and she's on the You Can Do It, Put Your Back Into It with Ice Cube.
I remember that.
Yep.
She came out and I featured on her album with E-40. And then I did something with Snoop with this group called The Relatives. They had features and I flowed and I rapped on that. So I was even you in the book, I was the one that wasn't trying to give up.
Okay.
I was trying to hold it together, even trying to bring them back periodically, but then that's what I did. I did, you know, features on other people's stuff and did like a movie, an independent movie that I had did that I performed in. So, and I was a school teacher. I went to teaching. I went to also teaching and with my degree, because like I said, we had degrees. So I was also a teacher and implementing my music and my everything with the school and incorporating my life with that as well, you know. my music side of it, but also, but I was teaching. Yeah, I was also a teacher. So that was my journey.
And my journey, I went back to, well, I actually went to work for what I went to school for, communication and broadcasting. So I worked for the film industry in post-production and worked on different music videos as far as behind the scenes. And in the editing room and directing room and things of that nature. So I went back to that. So I was working before the industry and I was working during it. Well, I was working during the industry because I was the work as far as the artist and everything.
Yeah.
And then I went back to work. I'm not working. It's not foreign to me. So I went back to work. Yeah. I went back to working in the film industry. And then I started my own fitness business now. So that's what I do now. Currently, Fly Girl Fitness, and just trying to help people be their best selves mentally and physically with their body to be fit for life and endure whatever life brings to them.
Uh-huh. That's right. And I certainly did what I desired to do. I became a domestic engineer, which is a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
eventually, right. I did get my degree, and I also became a teacher as well. So
nice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you just incorporate. Yeah. And so, and then Stephanie, yeah, I had, you know, so I did a, so we talk about an unfinished business somewhere, you know, I still try to create, I had like a production company called Too Contagious. Mm-hmm. And I had artists under me, you know, trying to, you know, bring them out and teach them the game. Cause my whole thing is I don't want people to experience what we experience. So I was trying to be that voice and to help them.
That mentor.
For them. And so I was doing that. But I talk about me and Kenya, we, and that's something about the follow. Me and Kenya was trying to do it without Mo. You know what I mean? Cause Mo was like done, like she said. But I'm just so thankful that we was able to reconnect and come up with unfinished business and Mo and stuff and to bring all this stuff together and give you guys an insight on what went down from the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So what can we expect from you all in the next year to 18 months?
You will be having this book. This book is going to be released. This book is going to be released. I can't wait. And you know, and it's a possibility you might get a nice song from us too, a track.
Okay.
Nice, yeah. You know, from us. Because we have so much music also that you guys haven't even heard. We did, you know, drop As Is. That was our first album. But we also dropped a couple of, you know, mixtapes off of mixtape. You know, we did stuff like that as well. And also for movie soundtracks. So we were still doing some things. But then we also have recorded stuff that you guys haven't heard.
Haven't been released.
That we did it independently is what that album was created out of. So then now we are financially responsible.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, so it's all good. And it feels good because you're able to really control your destiny, you know, because, you know, in life, and I'm just glad that we are a group that's spiritually grounded, and I'm happy that social media wasn't out back in the day, because I probably would be in so much trouble, you know.
I know that's right.
Some of the stuff they saw me do, you know what I mean, back in the
day. Oh, yeah.
but I'm glad social media wasn't out then, but the maturity level of where our mindset is, the social media doesn't get to us. People talk about us, whether it's good or bad. You see the comments. It doesn't affect us. Because we're solid and strong in who we are.
Good.
We know who we are. So none of that stuff, we can see stuff. It doesn't bother us, not one bit. Because you have to understand, everybody not going to like you.
Right.
I don't care how sweet or great you are. No, you know, whether bad, nope, everybody. And when you have that mindset, and that's why I want to help other artists who get so weak towards this. They let the game just mess them up mentally, you know, because what people saying about them, and some of them, you know, they don't have that solid foundation of God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of that spiritual connection that's or higher power. You can't be letting this stuff, man. I don't care who you are, whether you're in the music business or not. You gotta know who you are, and if you're not strong enough to be on social media, get off.
That's right.
It ain't for everybody. It ain't for everybody.
Everybody ain't your friend either.
It ain't for everybody. And it's okay. And you gotta take the good with the bad.
In our book, that's kind of the ending of our book, is that we survive. Like, a lot of artists, they struggle when they're at the top, and they don't know what to do when they're no longer at the top.
Right.
And they don't and mentally, you don't have to see yourself as at the bottom. I mean, you really don't. Nobody can dictate your success. Yours, you know, Okay, you call me, if you dare call me a one hitter quitter, I'm gonna ask you, well, how many hits you got?
Like, exactly.
don't try to come, don't try to come for me about my success or how far my success. Don't try it. You know, so that's how we are. We're kind of promoting, we are still successful, whether you hear from us, you know, or not.
You know, I gotta say, I love that. I love that because people do try to clown you, whatever it is, and your accomplishment, and they have no idea what it took, what you endured,
how
it shaped you, what you gave. And the reality is, 9 times out of 10, it's something that they never have done themselves. So I just love that, you know, where's your hit? Like, that's the reality because, you know, it's just people got a lot to say. And people feel like because you are a public figure, they can comment on any and everything. So. Yeah.
And like I appreciate that. And I say you got to take the good with the bad because people, you know, you got a lot of unhappy people out here. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is. So they you get, you know, misery like company. They want to bring you all in, you know, if they have some bad times. So they, you know, that just, that's a part, you know, people have jokes and some of this shit be funny. And some of this shit be funny to me, you know, I have like a comedic type of vibe. You know, I get the funny clown and stuff. Like, it doesn't bother me. I'll laugh about some stuff. I even have jokes in my book. In our book, I have jokes about some of the looks that we had. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh my God, what was we doing? You know what I mean? And but it's just real. You got it. You can't take yourself so serious.
So serious. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, it has been nice talking with you ladies. I have learned so much about your career. Where can people get the book?
Right.
And when does it come out?
It will be through Amazon. We're going to do pre-orders real soon. Pre-orders will be coming out. So you're going to get it. You'll be able to get access from Amazon, other different companies.
Entities.
And also,
and we'll let you guys know. We'll certainly shoot that out to you guys.
Please
do.
We'll
give you the release. We can put it on social media for you.
Please. We need all the support we can get.
And just stay tuned with @TheRealMoke and Steph on Instagram because we'll be posting when the book will be released, when the pre-sale orders will be released, the date. We don't have a date, but it will be this summer for sure. So just make sure you follow us on IG @TheRealMokeAndSteph. Yeah, and that will keep you updated with information. We'll definitely keep you guys
posted
with
this is Black History Month, you know, June. But, you know, we have a lot of interviews this month. We really booked. And I'm glad we was able to get with you guys because we have a good, nice schedule this month. And
you're going to awesome.
See, yeah, you're going to see the different, you know, stuff that we're doing. Also, people get to be able to check us out on certain platforms that we're going to be a part of this month as well.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you all. You all have a great afternoon. Yes.
You too. Thank you so much, Dr. A.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed
one. Bye, Brandon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, Adrian. I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.